Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Third hour, Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio, CBS Sports Network, SiriusXM 206, Football Friday. Get to our picks this hour, spinning around a little Tiki and Tierney whip around. Akeem Hicks of the Chicago Bears will join us coming up in a little bit as we set it up and continue rolling right along inside of our Quicken Loans studio, national mortgage lender. Quicken Loans, apply simply, understand fully, and mortgage confidently here. You know, I was just whipping the football around with a few of the sales guys during the break here, mm-hmm. Teak, and it's an NFL-sized football, you know, and Deflategate so long ago, but boy, I got to tell you, when that thing is just squeezed, what an advantage.
No, of course.
What an advantage. So now I know why Brady was cheating. I forgot.
He wasn't cheating.
Yeah, he was cheating.
He has a preference for lower inflated balls.
PSIs? What a difference it makes, though.
Oh, it really does.
Oh, man. It felt like a little Nerf ball. It felt like a pro.
You know what's also amazing, BT?
What?
How few, like, grown men can actually catch or throw a football.
Yeah, no, that's embarrassing. I'll tell you one thing. I try to do it now when it's deflated. It's kind of easy.
Yeah,
but I'm not good at catching. I mean, I catch it with my chest.
Yeah,
like if you throw me a pass, I'm going to kind of cradle it into my chest. You know,
most people do.
I don't know how these guys.
Yeah, it's a timing thing. It comes with practice. It's no different than digging a ball out of a short hop on first. You know what I mean?
I guess, but I feel like it's harder to do that with a football. At least a glove, you've got more of a radius of failure.
Oh, I mean, that's why gloves are so, they're ridiculous nowadays.
No, I'm talking about a baseball glove.
Oh, yes.
Like, I think it's easier to scoop a short hop with a...
Yes, because there's a
bigger radius of failure.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
But I'm talking about the receiving gloves.
Oh, they're ridiculous.
It's stupid. That's why you see so many one-handed catches these days. It just sticks.
I know.
It doesn't slide through.
No. I'll tell you, speaking of trying to slide he did. He did slide. He was trying to avoid the hit. We didn't get a chance to really spend a lot of time on this because we're going to get with Akeem Hicks a little bit for the Bears here, see what's going on with them. But what did you think in at first glance? And then, of course, we watch it. We review it 13,000 times in slow-mo, frame by frame.
Yeah.
Was that the right call? Did Eric Reed deserve to get boot?
Yeah, I think it was, BT. You knew that Big Ben, and really any quarterback, is not going to take on a charging safety player, defensive player. And so he starts to go down. Eric Reed is committed to the contact. And once you know Ben is going down, You can't try to make contact. You jump over him if at the very least. He went and put a shoulder into him and got a little bit of the elbow into his head. That's why he got ejected. If he hadn't hit his head at all, just whiffed,
mm-hmm.
and the intent was there, but the actual contact hadn't happened, he wouldn't have got ejected. But this is the way a lot of these DBs, especially these older, more old school type DBs, is how they play the game. And they're never going to not play the game that way. I think it was the right call, but I don't fault Eric Reed for doing it.
No, I don't either, and I would agree on both counts. I thought it was the right call. I didn't think it was incredibly egregious, but dangerous enough where... Now, be fair, I don't know if he needed to be ejected. It's one thing to get the full 15-yard penalty
It's only because he hit his head.
That's really the only reason why.
And look, BT, at the end of the day, DBs, really defensive players, they have to live by this philosophy. QB, if you're going to be brave enough to take off and run, I'm not talking about like scramble and run out of bounds, mm-hmm. for a 2-yard game. If you're going to be brave enough to be a running back and run up the middle of the field, you're going to pay for it, period. And that's no different than if a running back is running up the middle of the field.
Exactly.
You're going to pay for it.
Talking about from the quarterback's point of view.
Yes.
Yeah,
exactly.
I agree with you.
You are a running back now.
Yeah.
You just get the benefit of the doubt because you often slide before contact
Cam
happens.
Doesn't always slide.
Cam doesn't.
So think about this. I'm Eric Reed, all right?
No doubt.
I'm on Cam's team.
No doubt.
I've only played with Cam a couple of weeks because I just joined the team midseason here, but I see my quarterback, who's about the same weight as Big Ben,
Probably less, to be honest with you. Big Ben might weigh more.
I agree with that. He might actually be Big Ben's a little thicker. No, I hear it. Big Ben might be a few pounds heavier.
And we saw him earlier in the game run through like a tackle, like stiff arm the kid. Or what was the first quarter?
Looked a little
stiff arm the guy and like got the first down.
Yeah, he did. He
face masked the defender. I mean,
yeah, there was dual face mask on that play.
Big
That's
Ben's
true.
Ben's not like a shrinking violet.
No,
he's not shying away from contact. And here you are. If Eric Reed runs up to Big Ben and he's just kind of like, you know, pitter-pattering.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
And Eric... And,
who's to say Big Ben's not going to
put his shoulder down
and go right through him and pick up an extra 8 yards? He outweighs Eric
Green
by 30
I mean.
pounds, man.
That's why you got to give these defenders a little wiggle room.
That's why I don't fault Eric Reed for being aggressive.
Me neither.
But and he was committed to it when Big Ben slid.
Yeah.
You just got to avoid the contact with the head. If he had just hit his shoulder, he wouldn't have been ejected.
That's fair. Again, I do agree with you in totality, but and you get a great replay there, and looks like Ben's head hit the turf a little bit, which is usually what causes the concussion.
Yeah,
that's usually the dangerous part.
By the way, I love the Pouncey and
love it.
Who was the other lineman?
Was it DeCastro?
DeCastro.
Yeah, they don't do that.
Villanueva.
What are you doing? I never stopped.
Villanueva. Yeah, they get right into his face.
You know what I thought though? This is crazy. I almost thought the Villanueva stuff was personal.
Mm. Really?
Think about Villanueva with the military.
Maybe.
I don't know.
Maybe.
He went after him pretty hard.
Maybe.
He went after him pretty hard.
He did.
I think
but they were smart. All the Steelers linemen, they got right into his face and then put their hands down.
Yeah. And listen, in defense of Eric Reed, he dapped up Ben. He's like, my bad. But the problem is, like, if I'm Eric Reed and I see a guy who, what do you think Ben weighs? 260?
Yeah.
265?
I think at the bottom, he's 260.
Okay.
He's probably closer to 270.
He's in his, Ben's, what, 36 now, 37? Same as Eli and those guys and Phillip Rivers?
Same as Eli.
All right.
Big as hell.
Big-ass
legs.
Slow, but when he gets moving, he can pack a punch. And if I'm Eric Reed or any other safety or linebacker or nickel corner, whatever, anybody in the NFL, and that guy's running at me. Yeah, if that happens 100 times, 99, he's going to hit the turf and slide. But the one time he doesn't, what if he decides to truck me and put his shoulder in? And number one, I get blown up on film session. I get ripped apart and lambasted by my teammates.
You're right.
I give up the extra yardage. If it's a crucial spot in the game, I feel for Eric Reed in this regard. Because now, it's ridiculous you don't know the rules, which is what he said after the game. I want to play this for you. How do you not know the rules? Listen to Eric Reed. All right. That's mind-bending how you don't know the rules. I honestly don't
know. Look, in his defense, he wasn't in camp. You know what I mean? So in camp, you know how this works, BT.
Does he own a television?
Of course he does.
All right,
new rules. You sit down. The officials come in. They give you you watch the videos. You get coached up for,
The rules keep changing. McNabb didn't even know there were ties. And he was playing in the league for like 11 years
that
at that point.
That was a while ago. Was you with the Redskins at that point? Was that chubby Donovan McNabb?
Probably.
He got a little chubby.
He got old man chubby.
I think that was with the Redskins. He did not know the rule, right? And then he threw. I think that was with the Redskins. I think it was. Yeah, because that was right at the end of his career. And I think, was that DeNab's last stop? I don't think he played for anybody after the.
I think he signed with someone, but he never played after the Redskins. I can't remember who
that's
it was.
That's the last uniform I remember seeing him in.
His last action was with the Redskins, and that was an ill-advised.
There's a lot of inaction.
Exactly.
Great career, not a great.
He was still in the Eagles at this point.
When the
ties happened, yes.
Who were they playing that game? Was that the Falcons? Who was that
against? So he actually ended up in Minnesota. I was thinking Vikings
Minnesota.
In my head.
Minnesota, wow.
So it was 2008 that he forgot about
did
the ties.
Play? Did he play in Minnesota, though? I don't think he did.
He played. He started six games, went 1-5.
Wow.
But he didn't do much.
No wonder. I don't remember.
Oh, it was against the Bengals in 2008.
The Bengals. That was... Wow. Is that long ago? It's a decade ago?
Decade.
Man, oh, man.
Yeah, we're old.
What you got going on this weekend, by the way? Anything good?
I wish I could go to AJ's game because of the weather.
Tonight's playing?
It's playing tonight, so I was supposed to go up. But the weather, and they've done this twice now in the last 3 weeks.
Huh.
They've moved the game. So he's supposed to, 3 weeks ago, he was supposed to play on Saturday.
Mm-hmm.
I was going to go.
Mm-hmm.
They moved the game to Thursday at like 6 o'clock. Ugh. Obviously, I can't make it because I'm on air till 6 o'clock. Yeah. It takes me an hour and a half to drive up to Greenwich.
If you're lucky.
Same thing today. Yeah. The game was supposed to be at 7 o'clock, uh-huh. but because of the weather, and I could have made it. I'd have missed the first quarter or so. I would have made it.
Uh-huh.
They moved the game to 5 because of the weather.
Oh, jeez.
And so now I'm waiting for them to start the game on YouTube because they live stream it.
Oh, it's amazing.
So, but it hasn't started yet, so maybe there's a delay. So we'll see.
What are they, 5-0? They haven't lost yet, right?
They are 7-0.
7-0.
And they're bludgeoning people, man. They're winning
pretty
like
good.
56-7 every weekend. They're the second best team in the state right now.
Got to get some competition for the young buck. Maybe
they're just senior laden. That's why. Like, their running back is a good kid. Kid Tyson Camisiano.
No, I'm saying you got to get some more competition so you can play against some better teams.
No,
beating everybody 56-7
every week.
Because
they're senior laden. Like, their team is seniors. Their quarterback got Gavin Muir. He's a senior.
Yep.
I told you this story. The head coach is engaged to Amara. So there's football royalty up there.
But they got a good
next
squad.
Next year, it's going to be challenging.
Are they ranked? Are they ranked in the state? They're like number two or three.
Two in the state.
In Connecticut.
Next year is going to be
awesome,
difficult because they're going to be young. It's going to be all sophomores.
Does he have a chance to play at Virginia? You think he could be that good? He's got an outside chance?
He's got to build his grades a little bit more.
Okay.
But he's
Uncle
doing well.
Rondé and Daddy Tiki make a donation.
He's smart, but it's different in Virginia.
I hear you. I mean, I got you.
He's like in Syracuse a little bit.
Syracuse?
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah.
New York
okay.
team. Dino Babers is doing a pretty good job
He's
up there.
Doing a really good job. That's a tough place to win. Not a great recruiting base in the area. He's doing a – we should get him on the show.
We really should.
Yep.
His quarterback's name now. But
they have two. They got the freshman and the senior.
Yeah.
And they kind of rotate a little bit here. But I forget the names. What's up, Mike?
Just a quick note that I saw. Our guy JLC, maybe about 15 minutes after he got off the air with us.
Yes.
Had this little doozy saying that Joe Flacco might need surgery, or at the very least might be missing some time because of a hip injury.
Oh, it's okay.
Meaning Lamar Jackson could be starting. Wow. Have we seen Flacco's last start as a Raven?
That's interesting.
Like, if Lamar Jackson comes in and balls out.
Wait, when was
is Flacco
this?
Done?
When did this news happen? Just now?
4:45. So it was like just after he got off the air with us with JLC.
All right, good. I didn't have him in my six pack.
Well, you know what, Mike? I'll tell you. It's still enough of the season, unless it was like something degenerative.
I agreed. What was his injury before? Like 2 years ago,
Hurt his back. Before his camp, back. He had a back issue.
Could that be related?
Not 2 years ago. Last year.
Yeah. Could that be related?
The back and
in the hip. I mean, maybe. I only ask because
I've had no hip issues yet.
So maybe I was just going to say because if it is related, then you. Samter's question is more likely than not.
Listen, I hate to be. I hope that Joe's okay.
Yeah,
but I don't want to watch Joe Flacco play football anymore.
But here's the thing.
See, that's my point. Forget about the generative. Just the way he's been playing lately and what he's been doing on the field.
Well,
now have a first round pick.
He won't be on the Ravens next season.
No.
That's what I'm saying. So have we seen his last snap? Like I'm saying, like if he misses 1 week and Lamar Jackson comes in, plays well, and he's ready and he's healthy in 2 weeks, we're
Lamar
done.
Jackson. Having a little bit of growing pains, but being amazing.
So can I.
And
let's face it.
And
they
making
don't have,
that decision easy.
And they don't have enough wiggle room because they've lost 3 or 4.
Yeah.
If John Harbaugh gets a hot quarterback, rookie, not ready, kind of ready,
it saves
you got to stick with him.
And it saves his job in a sense. Seriously.
Oh, man, that's true.
Think about that.
That's true. That's true.
It's almost the same situation that Cutter was in. Different, obviously, because of how the transition goes from the younger guy to the older guy, but this is the older guy to the younger guy. That's an interesting development that's happening in Baltimore. Because I got to tell you, I want to watch Lamar Jackson. I want to see. Just like I wanted to see Baker Mayfield. Just like I wanted to see Josh Allen, even though I felt bad for Josh Allen getting his butt kicked with that bad offensive line in Buffalo. Just like I wanted to see Josh Rosen. I wanted to see these young kids on these underperforming or bad teams. Play. I want to see Lamar Jackson play.
You're not alone. I think everybody outside of maybe some devout Raven fans, and listen, he did get him a championship, so you got to respect that. And, you know, he's ingrained and he's got some fans there, I'm sure, in Baltimore for sure.
Yep, which we do. Which we do respect.
No doubt about it.
But it's time.
It's time. Here's Jason's exact. He tweeted two things. Let's say Flacco's dealing with a hip injury, seeking medical opinions, could require surgery.
Oh, man.
Wow, Mike, you undersold this a little bit. Or prolonged rest, or possibly he could play through it. And then Jason put in parentheses, that seems less likely. Ravens have been ramping up Lamar Jackson anyway, week 11 seeming more and more
like a natural transition. The next tweet, 1 minute after that, Flacco and the Ravens will know more about the totality of the situation next week. Given his uncertain future in Baltimore and how tricky hip injuries can be, and the Ravens wanting to see more from Jackson, things likely pointing in that direction. Yeah, I think I heard you off, Mike. They have a bye this week.
It's a bye week. Because I remember the story we talked about earlier in the week that John Harbaugh is giving them – there's no practice. I mean, they're going to meet, and if you need treatment, you're going to get treatment. They're going to not like they're not showing up to the facility, but they're not practicing this week.
That's right. We did
I wonder if Joe Flacco is compromised and can't if they actually flip that decision so that Lamar Jackson can get some practice time with the first team unit.
I think it's probably too late. Guys make travel arrangements. Hey, coach, you told me last week there's no practice.
Yeah, but they're still there. They're there until probably today.
I got
honestly.
You. I see what you're saying. Yeah, and then get the weekend off. Yep. Maybe. Mm. Okay, something to monitor for sure.
No
we
doubt.
You know what else we got to monitor? Our picks. What'd you do last week?
Two and four.
All right, we'll give you the update when we get back.
I'm just saying I'm not confident this week.
Oh. That's usually when it goes well.
That's what I mean, because I've said I'm confident every other week.
Yeah. It's like the whole golf driving range. You stripe it on the range, you shoot 104. You hit it sideways on the range, you par the first hole.
Yep.
That's what happens.
Right.
So keep saying you feel terrible. Tiki's going to rip off a 5-1 week. We'll get our picks coming up. Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio.
Do you have frequent heartburn? Like the kind of heartburn where you stash antacids everywhere? You feel like you gotta have those chalky tablets for whenever heartburn might strike. If that's you, you do know that there's an easier way to deal with heartburn, right? Prilosec OTC. Just one pill a day will last a full 24 hours with zero heartburn. With Prilosec OTC, you can actually just not get heartburn in the first place. No more stashing antacids. Try Prilosec OTC. One pill a day, 24 hours, zero heartburn. It's possible with Prilosec OTC. Use as directed for 14 days to treat frequent heartburn, not for immediate relief.
CBS Sports Radio's toll-free line is 1-855-212-4227. Brought to you by GEICO. Hey, everybody. Here's a quick way to save a little scratch. Switch to GEICO. Homeowners, renters, motorcycle insurance. Get it all at GEICO.com. All right, Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio, CBS Sports Network, Sirius XM 206. We've got our Tiki and Tierney NFL whip around coming up. All the games, the pertinent figures you want to hear from, give you the weather updates, all the reports, get you set up. Week 10, which is already underway. Steelers looked terrific last night. We'll do our picks here, six-pack of picks. If you're new to the show, let's see. We do three college, three pros, any combination. Could be high-profile conference, could be conference you barely even heard of, could be an over-under, could be a side, whatever it is. But you add it up, we give you six picks every Friday. Michael, get them up on social media. And where we stand right now, Teek, you said you were 2-4 last week?
2-4 last week. Right. 24-30-1 overall.
So. Yeah, all right. Let's,
give me a good 6-0 week. I'll get back to 500.
That'll be nice. Mike, do the math on that as I'm doing this. If Tiki goes, because he's 24-30-1, and the tie is the one that always throws me. I don't know how you calculate that.
Yeah.
He's at 45%. We're going to round it up to 45%. If Tiki goes 6-0 this week, what would his percentage get up to? I know we've got that calculator over there. That that winning
percentage
calculator.
So it'd be like 50.5, right?
I'm not sure.
Yeah, I think it'd be 50.
That's actually pretty easy. Jeez, you'd be 30-30, but you'd have the tie.
Yeah, but the tie is half a win. It counts as half a win.
So you'd be 50.50%, 50.500%?
49, it'd be 49%.
Oh, you'd be south of 50%.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so the tie pretty much counts as half a win. So for him, he's got 55 games on the books. So he's at 24.5 divided by 55.
I got you.
If he went 6-0, he'd be 30.5
got it.
Divided by 62,
gotcha.
Which is 49.2.
Okay, now I'm 29-24-1 on the season. I am 55%. What if I go 6-0? Do I touch 60% with a 6-0 week or no?
Oh, I thought you were going if you go 0-6.
Do you pay attention to the show that you produce? That never happens, and that never will. So when I go 6-0, what's my number going to be? Scott.
It's only happened once, right?
I never got 0-6.
No, for me. Didn't I go 1-0-6? I think I did early.
If so, not more than once.
Yeah.
No, we're pretty good. We've been
healthy. You'd still be below 60%.
What would I be at?
59. Just okay. Under 59.
Okay. All right. 59%.
Wishful thinking, baby.
I have not had a below 500 week this entire year.
Right.
I got to tell you, as we get ready for week 10, I'm pretty damn proud of that. That's a lot of games to pick without having a below 500 week. But still,
What does that mean? Listen to BT, not to me.
It means listen
to Sharp Tierney, not to Clueless Tiki.
It means listen to my NFL picks. Don't listen to my college ones because I've been going 0-3 a lot and having to go 3-0 on Sundays just to make it up and not be below 500.
Very, very true.
With that all said, all that gibberish, ready to make some picks?
Yep, let's do it.
All right, here we go, buddy.
Before I ever ran a casino or got myself blown up, Ace Rothstein was a hell of a handicapper. I can tell you that. I was so good that whenever I bet, I could change the odds for every bookmaker in the country. I'm serious. I had it down so cold that I was given paradise on earth.
Forget about Vegas and your buddy Joey. We got your winners right here. It's Tiki and Tierney's six-pack of picks.
Yeah. Okay, here we go. We start. By the way, out of my three college games, I've got two for the Big Ten. I've got one from the SEC. No cherry picking those mid-majors.
I love it.
I'm going for the big dog conferences, the strong affiliations. First up, we've got Ole Miss at Texas A&M. All right, Ole Miss, a little bit of a rough road in the SEC so far. They've played five times. They've won once. They're barely over 500 on the season. A&M, 5-4 overall, 3-3 in conference. And by the way, here's one thing about Ole Miss. They're getting 13 points, as I said. They've actually been pretty competitive outside of Bama, who smokes everybody. Their most recent losses have been within a couple of scores. They've kept it around. And, you know, Texas A&M is anything but beyond reproach. I mean, you're giving me basically two touchdowns. That's what this equates to, 13 mm-hmm. points. I'm going to roll the dice here, and I don't think a whole lot of A&M. I'm not saying that Ole Miss is anything special, but I think it's a lot closer than that. I think that's a bad value is what I'm saying. Good value for me.
Yes.
Bad value for Vegas. I think people, if they're smart, you jump on Ole Miss, you take the 13 points, you move to the bank. Look, take Ole Miss. Ole Miss plus 13 points. Give me them. All right, we go to the Big Ten right now. Not going to be a wet field, so obviously this time of the season, you want to see what's happening with the weather. 12 Eastern, noon kick. Indiana -2, hosting Maryland, Memorial Stadium, 37, partly sunny in beautiful Bloomington, Indiana. You know, Indiana is the kind of program, if you don't really pay attention, Indiana's terrible. Oh, Indiana sucks. Oh, God, Indiana. When's basketball season starts? I mean, it already has. But Indiana football gets no respect, and quite frankly, they get lumped in with, like, Rutgers and these doormats far more than they should. Indiana's got at least the shell, like the skeleton, the core of a competitive program. And, you know, I by no means do I try to prey on somebody's pain.
Mm-hmm.
I would never do that. But Maryland's, I just don't know where they're at right now.
Yeah.
Switch Agreed. Coaching staff. I mean, are they going on the road? Are they fully engaged? Mm-hmm. I don't know. It's a small.
They could galvanize around Matt Canada, but who knows?
That's true.
It's a distraction. It's a serious distraction there going on right
it
now.
It could work the other way.
You're right.
Could absolutely work against me. And if that's the case, then good for Maryland. I'd actually be happy for them if that happens. But it's a relatively pittance. I mean, at 2 points, you're talking about nothing. I'll lay the 2 points. Give me Indiana at home to win by 3, 6, 7. I believe they'll beat Maryland. Not very impressed with the Terps. Up next, we'll stay in the Big Ten. How about the Buckeyes? -3.5 points at Michigan State. All right, another noon kick. So I'm going to have my eyes tuned when I wake up. Well, I mean, I'm not going to wake up at 11:30 in the morning. But as the day starts, noon Eastern, I'm going to have some action here because I got both of my college games going on early there. Spartan Stadium. It is going to be nice, a little chilly, but sunny. Again, no moisture. Michigan State, you know what they are. Ohio State, here's where I love this. This is an overreaction. By the way, Michigan's going to beat Ohio State. I've been saying this for a month. I said Michigan was not going to lose, and they were going to beat Michigan State. They have. They're going to beat Penn State. They did. And I told you they're going to win the horseshoe, and they will. But Ohio State is better than they played. They're not a national championship kind of a team. They don't have that team this year. Do I think that they win by more than 3.5 points at Michigan State? I do. I love this game. Give it a Buckeyes to show a little championship resilience, a little strong program pedigree, and take the Bucks laying the 3.5. All right, Teak. Bills and the Jets over under. Boy, I know the Bills might not score more than 7 points on their own, but I actually think the Jets are going to score a lot of points this weekend. They're finally healthy. They got their weapons back, and Darnold's hurt. He's going to take a seat, and I think there's going to be a quicker pace.
Yep.
And I think they're going to get some big plays down the field with Josh McCown. It's such a low number, and it's not going to rain. So I'm going to take the over in the Jets and the Bills game, 36.5. That's just too attractive not to take. I'll take that. Give me the over, 36.5. Up next. The Saints, no Dez Bryant, ruptured Achilles,
That happened in practice. If you missed that, he's not going to even play. At Cincinnati, A.J. Green's banged up. It's one of these weird numbers, minus 5.5 points. I don't like that 5.5, like that 4.5, that 5, that 5.5. It's a quirky neighborhood. However, and he could also even tell me, well, the Saints are coming off a big win. Maybe they're not ready. They'll be ready. Cincinnati's, I know they're a different team at home, and I know the Saints might be a little different outdoors, but are they really? Think about how they played at Baltimore a couple of weeks back. I'm taking the Saints to win. They're not going to blow them out. 7 points, 10 points. They'll cover the 5.5. Give me New Orleans. And finally, the Chargers.
Love this one.
You like this one? All right.
I wanted to take it.
Nah. The early bird gets the point spread, brother. Chargers minus 10 at the Raiders. I mean, I don't really need to explain this too much. The Raiders are stripping down. They don't have many viable above-average NFL pieces right now. The Chargers are one of the best teams in the entire NFL. They'll keep rolling. They'll win 33-13, 34-10, 34-17.
Raiders O-line is so bad right now.
They're a mess. Derek Carr, every time he drops back, he's getting smashed. I love the Chargers here. So, give me Ole Miss plus 13. Give me Indiana minus 2 in the Big Ten over Maryland. I'll take the Buckeyes minus 3.5 against Michigan State. Give me the over in the Jets-Bills game, which is a relatively attractive 36 and a hook. I'll take the Saints minus 5.5 at Cincy, and I'll take Chargers minus 10 at the Raiders. Tiki, go make some loot, brother. What you got?
I will. I love to say this guy's name, Ken Niumatalolo, Navy. They're not doing very well lately, though, BT.
They're not that good this year.
No, six losses in a row. When you look at how they've lost, they got blown out by Cincinnati. I mean, when I mean blown out, they didn't score a point. 42-0. They lost. But they put up 22 on Notre Dame, which makes this interesting against UCF. UCF is one of the best teams in college football, even though they're not getting all that great of love in the college football ranking system. But I'm looking at the over here. This game is in Florida at UCF. 63.5. I think UCF, who's putting up about 50 or 45 points a game, will cover their side, maybe get a defensive score from Navy, and Navy's going to do enough to cover their edge as well. Give me the over, 63.5. Then we'll go to UAB, University of Alabama, Birmingham.
You know what their colors are?
A little green and a little red in there. I'll be down that way. I'll be down that way in a couple weeks, BT.
The Iron Bowl.
The Iron Bowl.
Deke's coming.
I will stay in Birmingham, too, because I have some friends down there. They're playing Southern Miss, or at least Southern Miss is coming for them. Southern Miss has been on a little bit of a slide as well. A little off-kilter. Jack Abraham, their quarterback, is inconsistent. 13 touchdowns, 10 interceptions on the season. And Spencer Brown, the running back for UAB, has been a stud. Already 850 yards and 13 touchdowns. I like UAB here at home, laying 12 points. So give me Southern Miss at UAB, UAB minus 12. We'll take that one.
Okay.
Michigan at Rutgers. This was one that just caught my eye because of the number, man.
What's that?
39.5. It's almost 40 points you're giving Rutgers.
55-3 Michigan.
I hear you, and I think that maybe it could be the case, but I thought that also with Rutgers when they had who did they have come in that was should have just beat the
crap
out of them?
You're not taking Rutgers, are you?
I am. I'm taking Rutgers, almost laying 40. So Rutgers getting 39.5 points. Look, Chris Ash was at Ohio State. He knows Michigan well. I think he'll play the smart game against the University of Michigan in Rutgers. So a conference road.
What an
game.
Ambiance!
A conference road game. If there's going to be a packed game down at Rutgers this weekend,
it would
be Michigan. But it'll be Michigan fans. I think the energy will be there.
You're out of your mind.
40 points, man. That's a lot. DT.
49 zip.
40. That's a lot. So I'm going to take Rutgers. You don't have to follow me on that one. Let's jump into the National Football League. Lions at the Bears. The Bears have been playing great defensively. Maybe Khalil Mack plays, maybe not. He's not on the injury report, but I don't know if that means he's necessarily playing. But the Bears are laying 6.5 at home against the Lions, who have teetered a little bit. Their run game got stifled last week. I think that there's a good chance that the Bears, with Mitch Trubisky continuing to grow and this offense growing, they're going to put up or cover more than a 6.5 spread here. So give me the Bears laying 6.5. The Patriots visiting the Titans. Sony Michel could play, and instead, Cordarrelle Patterson has been a baller at running back for them. So, you know, regardless of what who's getting the ball out of the backfield, whether it's James White catching the rock or Patterson, Tom Brady leading this team down to Tennessee, I like them laying 7.5, even though it's on the road against a resilient Tennessee Titans squad. But I think the Pats are significantly better. So give me the Pats laying 6.5. The Colts are hosting the Jaguars. Yes, I know that Leonard Fournette may be back, but it's going to be a little tepid maybe early. Andrew Luck has been playing unbelievable football at home. I think they put up a lot of points. Just three. They're laying three. I think it's small. So definitely give me the Colts minus three at home against the Jaguars, who are teetering a little bit. I don't think that Doug Marrone, just by the way, we were talking about coaches that could be in trouble.
Sure.
Doug Marrone got the team to the AFC champ, almost to the AFC, AFC representative. They were the NFC championship game last year.
Yep.
If they somehow put in a 5-11 season, you think that he's the...
Coughlin's, they're tight. Coughlin's,
I think so, too.
I don't think so.
I think so, too.
He'd get another year for sure.
But how colossally disappointing if they finish significantly under 500.
Yeah.
The Jaguars are...
Oh, they've been terrible
something,
so far.
Something's bad with them. So to recap, give me the over, Navy at UCF, 63.5. Give me UAB laying 12, hosting Southern Miss. And give me Rutgers at home against the Michigan Wolverines.
Said
plus
nobody.
39.
I mean, you were scraping the Navy, UAB, and Rutgers.
All the ones that used to made sense to me over the last couple of weeks, they've all failed on me. So I'm going with a little different philosophy here.
Okay.
And you know what I actually looked at just mostly?
What?
Point differentials.
Yeah. That's not a bad place to start, by the way.
You're right. Lions at Bears. Give me the Bears laying 6.5. Patriots laying 6.5 also. At the Tennessee Titans, give me the Pats. And then the Jaguars at the Colts. I'll take the Colts. Minus three.
Okay, good job, Teak. I heard some winners, not with the Rutgers, but I did hear some other winners. We'll get them up on social media. Sanders got that. We'll come back. We'll do Teak and Tierney, NFL whip around after CeeLo's update, which is right now. Here's Chris.
All right, Teak, time to answer our Ask the Pros question of the day here. Brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. Let's go. Rob on Facebook. We'll go with this one. Which NFL team has the most to lose this weekend?
It's Friday
night. It's all right. West Side.
One of these songs.
The parties here are the White
Sox. I know West Side's in there somewhere. I'm going to go with the, I tell you who cannot trip up this weekend. The Falcons.
Yes, good one.
They've worked too hard to get back to 500.
Exactly.
They're at the Browns. Got to win
great
that
one.
Game.
I'm going to say Jacksonville. We were just talking about VT. If they go down to, if they go 3-6 and lose to Indianapolis, who's also, they have the same record.
Yep.
I mean, can you almost start counting them out for the postseason?
With the way the Texans are playing, sure. Yeah. And the way the wild card's being positioned in the AFC, absolutely.
Yeah.
I think also, I'm not so sure that they will. Although they probably will. Packers better beat Miami. Otherwise, then it's officially over.
Yeah, agreed.
There's a couple teams who are scrapping to keep their seasons going.
Yep.
Think O'Reilly Auto Parts, where your car care needs. Guarantee low prices. Excellent customer service at O'Reilly Auto parts, better prices every day. Here on Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio. All right, Tiki, we'll do our whip around in a minute. During the break, I just got this email from the Warriors. Let's see. Warriors guard Steph Curry, who exited last night's game, underwent an MRI earlier today in the Bay Area. Preliminary analysis suggests Curry suffered a mild to moderate left groin strain. The staff will continue to evaluate the results of the MRI and the injury over the next few days. He will not play tomorrow versus the Brooklyn Nets at Oracle. So I just got that from the Warriors. Figured I'd pass that on. All right, let's whip it around. Here we go. Give some music. Let's go, Teak. Here we go, buddy. Pats and the Titans. All right. Oh, that's right. I don't have to say it. They say it for us. Pats are 7-2. Titans are 4-4. CBS 1 Eastern. Weather's going to be good. Mostly sunny. 54. All right, Tennessee, let's see what you got.
Yeah, this is all about what the Tennessee Titans can try to live up from their win last week against the Dallas Cowboys. The Pats are going to be the Pats, though.
And Malcolm Butler says, hey, this is my former team. I'm ready to go. Give some music. Let's go, Teak. Here we go, buddy. Pats and the Titans.
Patriots. Titans.
Oh, that's right. I don't have to say it. They say it for us. Pats are 7-2. Titans are 4-4. CBS 1 Eastern. Weather's going to be good. Mostly sunny. 54. All right, Tennessee, let's see what you got.
Yeah, this is all about what the Tennessee Titans can try to live up from their win last week against the Dallas Cowboys. The Pats are going to be the Pats, though.
And Malcolm Butler says, hey, this is my former team. I'm ready to go.
It's just a game. It's just a game. You know I used to play for New England and all of that. You know, I'm not overhyped. I'm not, you know, very pumped. You know, it's just another game. I got to be ready to play. You know, no matter who I play, people are throwing the ball. So just got to be ready.
Cardinals, Chiefs.
Okay, Cardinals 2-6. Fox 1 Eastern, Chiefs 8-1. Patty Mahomes on taking on the Cardinals.
You got to stay within your system, stay within your scheme. You can't try to do too much. I mean, they got guys, like you said, that are veteran guys that are really good with the system that they run, the defense that they run, and so they're going to stay disciplined to their rules. So you can't rely on someone messing up.
This one's at Arrowhead, 48 degrees and rainy. So if you're looking for something to maybe slow down, Kansas City could be the weather, but show up, stay healthy,
yeah,
move on
look,
to week 11.
These are teams going in very opposite directions, or at least different types of seasons this year. The Cardinals are rebuilding, trying to figure out what they have, whereas the Chiefs are trying to stay atop the AFC and keep thriving and pushing forward.
And what's the spread, you might ask? Kansas City, -16.5. So we'll see how that goes.
Redskins, Buccaneers.
Okay, the Bucs are -3. Raymond James Stadium, partly sunny, 82 degrees. Redskins, 5-3. Another team we got to throw in there is a team that has to make sure they handle business weekend. The Red, not that they can't lose, because nobody's running away with the NFC, the NFC East. But this is a game to get right. You lost last week. Come back and win the game if you mean something,
Redskins.
I agree.
Now they're going on the road, and it's tough. But their defense has been playing well. But Ryan Fitzpatrick and this Buccaneers offense, especially with DeSean Jackson and O.J. Howard, I mean, if they get going, it's hard to stop them sometimes. Not to mention Mike Evans, who's one of the top wide receivers in football.
And the Mike Evans, the aforementioned Mike Evans, and the Bucs try to turn things around.
Well, our schedule favors us. You know, we see that. We obviously got to take it one game at a time, but you know, we see a lot of winnable games, three home games in our division. That's going to be huge for us. We just have to take it one week at a time, and I think we'll be fine.
Dolphins, Packers.
Okay, mentioned this one before. It's a CBS Till 425 Eastern, so a standalone game. Miami still, even though we watch him for the past month, we're like, this team's pretty much garbage. Mm-hmm. I don't know how else to describe them.
Right.
They are 5-4, which is a couple of wins better than the Packers are.
They are still alive, so to speak, in the playoff conversation. Brock Osweiler starting to quarterback again. Ryan Tannehill is ruled out. He's throwing, as Jason Lockenford told us. But this Dolphins team's confounding. This Packers team is even more so, because they should be better than they actually are.
Here's Aaron Rodgers on scuffing a bit so far.
We got to play better. Consistently, 60 minutes. Trying to eliminate some of the lulls that we've been having. But we got to play with confidence and play up to the level we're capable of playing.
Seahawks, Rams.
Okay, this is interesting because we get a chance to see the L.A. Rams battle back with their first dose of a little adversity, if you can call the first loss of the season in November adversity. They're 8-1. Jared Goff says, all right, we lost last week. Let's get back on the horse.
Getting through that loss and moving on happened pretty quickly. So I don't think we're still dwelling on that by any means. It's a big division game for us, and every division game is important. When we played them last game, they did some stuff that they hadn't really shown on film much, and you know, they could very well mix it up like they did last time, and we'll have to see on Sunday.
This one's at the Coliseum, Teak. The Rams are 8-1, 9.5-point favorite. Seattle 4-4, and their key is to possess the ball and run it, which they have.
Absolutely, and BT, remember a game the first time these two met this year up in CenturyLink. Mm-hmm. It was a 33-31 victory by the Rams, but it has a comeback victory for the Rams. They had to score 9 points, and their defense had to stouten up. In the fourth quarter, they scored 9. The Seattle Seahawks scored 0, and they've snuck away with a victory on the road. Now they got to do the same at home to keep their momentum, or at least reset their momentum as one of the best teams in the NFC.
Cowboys, Eagles.
This is important any way you cut it, but it would have felt even bigger had the Cowboys beaten the Tennessee Titans last week. Dallas is now 3-5, and the Eagles 4-4, trying to get their act together. Sunday Night Football, big stage, always fun when Philly and Dallas hooks up.
Yeah, absolutely, BT. These teams will technically be tied, but because it's their first meeting, if the Eagles win, they'll technically be tied. But the Eagles are looking to have that advantage and get the feel back of that team from last season. And the only way it's going to happen is if you win your division games against a division leader right now. That's the Redskins. Both of them have their pluses and minuses. They're good defensively. The Eagles have an advantage offensively just because of the quarterback and the explosion that's in that offense. But don't count out Zeke. If Zeke gets going, then Zeke can change the nature of any game.
Oh, yeah, we know that. And both defenses are pretty solid. While the Eagles haven't run the ball well, a little bit less than 110 yards a game, both teams are keeping their opponents under 20 points per game. The defenses are pretty tight. You would imagine if the stats and the trends hold up, Teak, that points will be at a premium. Weather should be pretty good. A little nippy at the link, but it's going to be dry, and it's going to be in the low to mid-40s. So that is Sunday Night Football. And here we are, week 10 around the NFL. The Broncos, the Vikings, the Ravens, and the Texans all with byes. So right now, certainly two teams that are looking like their playoff teams won't play this weekend in Minnesota and Houston. The Ravens try to stabilize. We touched on them, and the Broncos a chance to lick their wounds as well. There you go. That's what's happening around the NFL.
Nice.
Good stuff. Let me see. That's it? I got nothing else for you.
Yes, I'm pumped for Monday.
What's that?
What's Monday?
What's Monday?
Well, in a couple of weeks, you got Creed 2 coming out. Monday,
right.
We got Ivan Drago coming into the studio.
Is the actual Ivan Drago coming in?
Dolph Lundgren is coming in. There is no actual Ivan Drago.
But the actor who played Ivan Drago.
Yeah, Dolph Lundgren, man.
How's he look? Is he holding up?
Yeah, I mean, he's still built. He looks a little older.
Yeah. I remember going down the rabbit hole with him, BT. Uh-huh.
Yeah.
How he, like, his girlfriend, Grace Jones was his girlfriend.
Okay.
And that's how he ended up getting in these
movies. Oh, yeah. I did know that.
She was like an engineer.
Serious. We've talked about this before.
Very smart guy. Like, brilliant man.
Please tell me we're not going to talk about that.
No, of course not.
Because I have nothing to add to that conversation.
I might, because you can geek out during the break. I'm a geek like that. But he came and basically was like, okay, I'm going to be your bodyguard.
Yeah.
And then he gets put in a movie.
I remember
that.
And then
all of a sudden, he's a movie star.
I remember that. Hey, real quick, I want to remind everybody, the Home Depot Foundation's annual celebration of service season has begun. Join the Home Depot to help improve the quality of life for veterans. Visit serveveterans.com. Serveveterans.com. More information on how you can help in your community. Serveveterans.com.
Yeah, Veterans Day is on Monday as well.
Absolutely. Hearty salute to all the men and women out there that help protect us.
Yep.
Have a good weekend.
Thank you. You too, brother.
Everybody enjoy the games. Have a safe weekend. Have fun. We will catch you on Monday.
Peace. Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 40%. Up to 40% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.